Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. Every word in it is true. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught God's word. It's his truth, transforming every part of my life, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, you guys sound great. We're in the second week of a series that I'm titling Uncommon. And common is very just common. It's normal. It's what we expect every day. It's just kind of what goes on in life. Uncommon means it's just not common. Pretty simple explanation, isn't it? Look at your neighbor and say, you're uncommon. You're uncommon. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're a weirdo. Go ahead. That's fine. But uncommon really just means different, and if you look at the scripture that I'm preaching from today, it'll kind of give you an idea of what the expectation is of a believer, okay? This is Paul talking to the church at Rome. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way you think, inside out. Then, when you do that, when you allow God to do that, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, Paul goes to great lengths. Jesus did the same thing, talking to us that we're not supposed to be like the world. We live here. We look like everybody else. But as believers, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be unique. We're supposed to be the people that God's created us to be. And so, we are not supposed to be what is common. We are supposed to be uncommon. And last week we talked about being uncommon and having an uncommon commitment, that the commitments we have in life are different than the commitments that the world has. And today we're going to talk about uncommon strength. And I don't think you can talk about strength without talking about Samson. I mean, Samson is obviously somebody you look at and realize he has great physical strength, doesn't he? And so we're going to, if that's my mom, tell her I'm busy. I'll get back with her in a little while. But he has this amazing strength that is God-given that comes to him. But here's what's interesting about the story about Samson. Even though he has tremendous ability, he makes some tremendous mistakes, doesn't he? And I was in a meeting just this past week with some of our school leadership guys, and they were talking about a young man that had grown up in the school system. I don't know him, but they were talking about him, and he had incredible athletic ability. He was smart. He was a natural leader. And over time, he began to make some bad decisions that ultimately led him down a path that took him off God's plan for his life, and now he's going through a time of destruction in his life. And here's what one of the leaders said, one of the educators said. He has such amazing potential, but now his life is just so sad. And today is really about potential. Because every person in this room, God has gifted you uniquely. God has placed his image inside of you. If you've received Christ, you have been adopted into his family. He has this amazing plan for your life, but you have the ability to mess it up to a degree. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever made any mistakes? Has anybody ever sinned? Anybody ever sinned? Did anybody, some of you didn't raise your hand. You sinned right then. So we've all messed up, haven't we? And here's the way I like to think, and y'all know how my brain works. It works pretty simply. The Bible tells us that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I don't know if there's actually a physical book in heaven with our names written in it, or if there's a hard drive. I don't know how that works. But if I think of the fact that there's a book in heaven, maybe each one of those chapters is one of us, that we are our own unique story. We are our own unique book. And here's what's interesting about that, is that we kind of get to choose how it goes. Maybe some of your lives right now are, if I'm reading your life as a book, maybe it's a tragedy. Maybe some of the things that are going on or have gone on, it's a sad story. Or maybe some of your lives, it's a comedy. And I know some of you, and it's definitely, you know, a comedy. Wardell. I mean, you know, and it's just, some of you, it's a drama. It's like a soap opera. If I'm reading, I'm like, holy smoke. It was the maid the whole time. But some of you, you don't know how to rewrite this thing. And can I just tell you something right now? That if you'll allow God to come in, regardless of where you are in the story of your life, he can rewrite it. He has this amazing ability to take a tragedy and turn it into a triumph. And with you being here today, and I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, and really that's the bottom line of this message, is that we all have potential. And maybe some of us have used our gifts, our abilities, our potential, and we've gone down the wrong road because we've made some bad decisions like Samson did. But can I just tell you, there's hope that if we'll allow God to come in, he can rewrite our story. So you're not here by accident today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not here by accident. You're really not. Turn to your second choice and say, even you are not here by accident. Well, let me tell you about Samson. Samson was born in a time in history, in Hebrew history. Moses, we all know who Moses is. He had led the people out and got them up to the promised land, and then Moses died, and God turned everything over to Joshua, and Joshua is an incredible leader, and he led the people into the promised land. But there was a mistake that Joshua did not appoint someone or train someone or raise someone up underneath him to take over. So when Joshua died, the people kind of fell into periods of chaos. And so they would do like many of us do. They would serve God for a while, and then they would go do their own thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then they'd get in trouble, and they would cry out to God, and then he would raise up these people called judges who would come and help deliver them. And then sooner or later, the judge would die or go away, and then they'd fall back into chaos again. Well, Samson was one of those people that was raised up as a judge. And I encourage you this week in your Bible study time, go to Judges chapter 13 through 16 and read about Samson. I don't have time to cover his whole story today, but one of the things that made Samson very unique is that he was a Nazirite. Everybody say Nazirite. Now, here's what a Nazirite was, and then I'll read the scripture to give you the description. But a Nazirite was someone that was not a priest. They were not born into this priestly role or appointed as a priest. They were someone that would, for a season in their life, would dedicate themselves to God. Kind of like we would do with fasting, where we go through seasons of fasting. They'd say, all right, I'm going to fast for this season. Well, Nazirites were people that typically for a season would say, I'm going to set myself aside for God and do this special season for God. Samson was unique because an angel came to his parents, and they couldn't have children. And an angel came to his parents and said, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be a Nazirite from birth. He's not going to be just set aside from God for a season. His entire life is going to be dedicated to God. But there were certain things that Nazirites had to do. And so we're going to go back here, and I'm just going to read for you out of Numbers chapter 6 and tell you what a Nazirite is. So the Lord said to Moses, God gave to Moses this command. He said, tell the Israelites, if men or women, guys or gals, want to promise to belong to the Lord in a special way, they will be called Nazirites. Now, here are the requirements to be a Nazirite. During this time, they must not drink wine or beer or vinegar made from wine or beer. They must not even drink, what's this? They must not even drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. No raisin bran. That's how I think. I'm thinking, no raisin bran, no grapes of any kind can they have. While they're Nazirites, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, even the seeds or the skin. So that's number one. During the time they promised to belong to the Lord, they must not cut their hair, okay? They must be holy until this special time is over. They must let their hair grow long, and during their special time of belonging to the Lord, Nazirites must not go near a dead body. Even if their own father, mother, brother, or sister dies, they must not touch them or they will become unclean. They must still keep their promise to belong to God in a special way. While they're Nazirites, they belong to the Lord in a special way. So the three rules, very simply, to be a Nazirite are don't get drunk or touch drink, don't touch or go near anything dead, and don't cut your hair. Okay, so those are the rules. So Samson knew this, and he'd been raised as a young man to follow these rules to be a Nazirite, okay? And here's what you think, though, when you think of Samson. His gift, what would happen is God would allow him to have this supernatural, superhuman strength. Matter of fact, this one time, the Philistines were persecuting the people. They were in an ungodly nation. They were persecuting the Hebrews. They'd come in, and there was all these soldiers. There were 1,000 soldiers. And the Spirit of God, the scripture tells us, came over Samson. He grabbed the jawbone of an ass. He grabbed a donkey's jawbone. It was dead, okay? He grabbed the dead donkey's jawbone and slew 1,000 people. He killed 1,000 people. The Spirit of God came on him. So he had the supernatural strength. And if you read the story over and over again, you see the Spirit of God coming on Samson, and he would deliver the people, deliver them from the Philistines by the supernatural strength. But Samson had some problems. Samson had some issues. Samson had some attitudes that made him as a strong person weak. And I want you to know, one of the things that encourages me so much when I read scripture is the people in the Bible are just like us. They have the same strengths, they have the same weaknesses, and I love the way the Bible speaks to us, and it just tells us these stories. It's very blatantly open about these people that have strengths and weaknesses just like you and I do. And if I had to summarize Samson in one big thought, here's what it would be. This is on your notes. Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. He had great outward strength, but very small inward strength. The outside didn't match the inside. So what were these attitudes that caused him to stumble? What was it that caused Samson to make the mistakes that he did? Well, I'm going to go through these, and you can look at your notes here. These are some of the attitudes that make strong people weak. Look at your first blank there. The first one that Samson had to deal with was lust. Lust. And here's what lust says. Lust says, I want it. Everybody say, I want it. Maybe a better way to say it is, I need it. I mean, ladies, have you ever been walking by a store and you looked inside and there's a pair of shoes and they're calling out to you? Ah, right? And there you are. And you look over at your husband and you say, look, I don't just need them. I want that. These will complete me. The other 400 pair didn't somehow. But these. Or guys, maybe you walk in and you realize, I just need one more fishing pole. The 40 I have are not good. And if I just had, but you can fill in the blank. With whatever it is, there are things in our life we just feel like, I want it. I need this thing. Well, Samson felt that way. There were things in his life, situations in his life where he decided that he wanted it. And guess what? It didn't matter what the rules were. He was willing to break the rules. Look at Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. These are the enemy people. And when he returned, after he left there and came back home to his father and mother, he said, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now look, Dad, go get her for me as my wife. Well, here's the problem. God had forbade the Hebrew people of marrying outside their culture because these other cultures were ungodly. They worshiped other gods. And so God said, listen, you're not going to marry outside this godly nation of yours, because if you do, it's going to cause you problems. And so God had forbidden them to do that. But what does Samson do? He walks down, he leaves, he walked 4 miles outside of their territory, went into the enemy territory, he was where he shouldn't be, and he saw somebody that he wanted, and he went back to his parents and said, hey, I want this, go get it for me. Now, can I just say as a side note, this isn't in my notes. His parents said, okay. Parents, we have a responsibility. Grandparents, we have a responsibility. Sometimes you need to just say no. And his parents didn't. They said, all right, we're going to get you what you want. And so they kind of helped him in this process of allowing him to break God's rules here. And so that kind of went down this road. But it all started because he wanted something. He decided he needed it. And he didn't care if he broke God's law or disobeyed his parents. He was going to go get it. How many of you ever felt that way? I want it, so I'm going to get it. Well, listen, when you have lust and you allow it to rule your life, you forget all logic and you become reckless. And that's what Samson did. He became reckless. Why does he do it? He does it because he saw something and decided that he wanted it. That's not a good thing. So let's look at the next attitude. The first attitude is lust. It gets you in trouble. What's the next attitude that gets us in trouble? Entitlement. Entitlement. I deserve it. I deserve it. You know, why do you need this thing? Well, I deserve it. What do you mean you deserve it? I just do. I want something, therefore I should have it. Anybody ever felt that way? I just want it. You know, I'm going to tell Aunt Kennedy. She'll appreciate this. She was driving to school the other day and on her way to Jonesboro, and she called me. She did great. She got back to school and called me and said, Dad, I got a ticket. I said, really? She goes, oh, yeah. I was driving to school. I said, what happened? She said, there were some really old people in front of me, Dad. Probably my age, right? And they were driving slow, and I decided I needed to get around them, and so I went and I got around them, and when I did that, there was a state trooper standing over, or sitting over there, and he pulled me over. And I said, well, where were you? She said, Sharp County. I said, really? Well, Kennedy has a police license plate on there. So the state trooper walks up to her and says, hey, who's your dad? She said, Pastor Chris. He said, here's your ticket. I know this guy. I've worked with this guy. He did us both a favor. What was he doing? That was good police work. That was good parenting work. He's saying, look, just because daddy's a police officer doesn't mean you can speak. And I appreciated that. My pocketbook didn't, but I appreciate the fact that he did that. And see, we have to learn that. And Kennedy wasn't trying to do anything wrong. I'm not slamming on her. But what I'm saying is some of us can get an attitude that says, I should just have it because I want it. Can I tell you, we can end up in a whole lot of trouble that way? We are not entitled, guys, to anything. We are not entitled to anything. Samson is walking along. Here's what happens. Here's Samson, right? And he's walking along, and he's going to see girlfriend, actually coming back from girlfriend, and he's where he's not supposed to be. And what happens? A lion comes out, 450-pound lion. Now listen, guys, lions kill stuff. That's what they do, right? And so this lion steps out, and what does Samson do? The Spirit of God comes on Samson, and he kills the lion. That's awesome, right? Barehanded, right? That's awesome. Kills the lion, goes on his way, right? And so here's what happens. Sometime later, look in your notes, Judges 14, 8 through 9. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, who? The Philistine, the lady he's not supposed to marry. He turned aside because he walked by the place where he killed the lion. He wanted to go look at it. So he turned aside to go look at the lion's carcass. Inside the lion, it had been dead for a while. Inside the lion, a swarm of bees had gone in there and built a nest. And now there was honey inside on there with the bees. And watch what he does. He scooped out with his hands and he ate it as he went along. Is there a problem with this, guys? What's the problem? It's dead. What does that have to do with anything? He's a Nazirite. His vow says you won't what? You won't touch anything dead, will you? But here's the deal. He said, look, I killed the thing. If there's honey in this thing, I killed it. I deserve it. So what does he do? He does a drive-through, grabs it. Now he has a Happy Meal. He's got honey walking down the road. But he also breaks his vow. And notice the words on here. I highlighted them in my notes. You might circle them in yours. He turned aside. How many times have you and I gotten in trouble by being where we shouldn't have been? And that's what he did. And he ended up breaking his vow. And he got misdirected. And now he's broken his vow. But let's look at the next attitude that gets us in trouble. And here's what it is. And it's probably, of all of them, it's probably the worst one of all. And it is pride. It is pride. And pride says it this way, I can handle it. I can handle it. Anybody ever got in trouble because you thought you could handle it and ended up realizing that it was bigger than you? Pride gets us all in trouble. And I want to tell you what happened. Samson now, as he continues to break his vows, look at this next one that he breaks, Judges 14, verse 10. Now his father, Manoah, went down to see the woman, Philistine woman, arranging, getting all the marriage stuff squared away. And Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. But here's the deal. This word feast is the Hebrew word mishtah. And here's what it means. A feast or party, a celebration or occasion for what? Drinking. And can I just tell you, it wasn't Kool-Aid. Right? So here's what Samson does. He's marrying the wrong person he's not so supposed to be marrying. He's breaking his vow over here touching dead animals, but now he decides he's going to throw a party, and this party has alcohol there, and he gets involved, and now he breaks his vow again. Again. What's the end result of all this? He's just like us. He's just like we are so many times. We feel like we can go through life and continually or consistently break God's rules, break God's way of doing things, and then what happens? Ultimately, it gets us. And so what happens? Well, remember the other vow was the long hair, and he now marries this Philistine woman, and the Philistines hate him because he's keeping the Philistines from abusing God's people. And so his wife, Bathsheba, gets in there. I mean, Delilah, not Bathsheba, different woman. Delilah gets in there and says, "Where do you get all your strength?" She was Southern, just so you know, Southern Philistine. And he told her a couple different times. He actually misdirected her, right? Sent her different directions. But ultimately he says, "Well, it's my hair. It's my hair." Right? And so while he's asleep, she cuts his hair off and the Philistines break in and his strength is gone. And the Bible tells us that they bind him, the guy that couldn't be bound before, they bind him and gouge his eyes out. And they take him and they put him in the prison. And here's what they would do. They would bring him out into this big area and everyone would look at him and mock at him like some kind of a circus creature. Here was this guy that killed all of our people, but now look at him. Can I just tell you that that's the devil's desire for you? Is to put you on his wall like a trophy? The Bible tells us that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job description for you. But the good news is that God's come to give you life. And the Bible tells us that while Samson was sitting there in that prison, I want you to imagine, this is a guy that killed 1,000 of these people with the jawbone of an ass, that killed a lion with his bare hands. Now he can't even walk around. He has to have somebody help him and lead him around. That's what sin does, guys. See, none of us think when things are starting off, when we're disobeying God, we kind of play a little bit over here or go over here or do this, that, and the other thing. And we never desire to end up broken. We never desire to see our lives destroyed. That's the devil's plan the whole time. And that's Samson's story. Except, while he's in the prison, over all this time that he's there, his hair begins to grow back. But I think the more important thing is that while he was in that prison, he began to reflect on himself and get honest with himself and realize that his strength came from somewhere else. And here's the deal. The last verse of the last chapter of his book is that they call, there's this 2,000 people in this big temple, this big Colosseum temple thing, and they say, "Hey, somebody go get Samson so we can make fun of him." And so Samson's being led out, and he says to the person leading him out, he said, "Put me between two big pillars." And he said, "God, one more time. God, one more time." And the Spirit of the Lord came on him and his strength returned and he pushed those columns down and collapsed that entire building down on all those people, but not only them, but himself. And that's how his life ended. God rewrote his story right there at the very end, but it cost him everything. And I don't want us to be that way. I don't want us to be those kind of people. And when I tell you today, if you're at that place in your life and you look at your life and you're really honest with where you are right now and you realize your story's a tragedy, a drama, whatever it is, and you realize that you want to rewrite it, but you don't know how, can I just tell you that's okay? It's not your job to rewrite your story. It's your job to allow God to come in and transform you, and he will rewrite your story. He's incredible at it. And he can take your mess and make it a masterpiece. I'm gonna say that again. God can take your mess and he can make it a masterpiece. Amen? So here's how you, I'm gonna close here. I'm gonna give you these three blanks. How do you change your focus? You change it from lust, looking and getting what you want, to saying this, I want God. Instead, I want whatever it is, let your focus be, I want God. We focus on him first. We focus on him first. Here's the second thing you need to realize is that what you deserve is death. We serve a mighty God who's holy, guys. Even the best of us have made mistakes, and God is holy and he loves us completely, but the truth is, even on our best day, we fall short. And what we deserve is death. I thought of a story this week as I was reading through my Bible, preparing for this week. Luke chapter 7, Jesus is at some religious rulers, some Philistines' house, and he's having dinner with them, and this woman walks in, this sinner walks in and comes down and falls down at Jesus' feet and begins to weep, and she begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair. And you know how religious people are. Oh, Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus said something very interesting. He said, he who is forgiven much loves much. And I want to encourage you in something. Whenever you begin to feel entitled, remember who you were before Jesus got you. Remind yourself about that. Remember the mess you were, sometimes the mess that you still are. And remember that. Remember where you were when he found you and what he did with you. We deserve death, but he gives us life. Amen? And here's the final thing I want you to think. And this will help you. I can't handle anything without God. I can't handle anything without God. Jesus said it this way in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can't do anything. And you know, if you ever watch when I'm over here, sometimes when I'm down front, when I'm getting ready to come out and speak to you guys, I'm over here going, God, say something. Because I know in myself, I can't help you. There's nothing in me that can help you. But here's what I know. The power of God flowing through me can meet every need that you have. But apart from him, I can't do anything. And it's the same for you. People don't need you. They need what you have on the inside. You know that overflow we were talking about a few minutes ago? That's what people need. They need the power of God flowing in you and through you to meet their needs. And that's why the Holy Spirit helps us. Look at these last two things, and I'm going to close. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says this, finally, be strong in who? In the Lord, and in whose mighty power? His mighty power. Don't be strong in your own power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. The smartest people I know spiritually are the ones that have learned to surrender early. Let me say that again. The smartest people I know spiritually, the most mature, are the ones that have learned to surrender early. It's not me, it's him. And in my weakness, he is strong. And in your weakness, he is strong. Amen? Think Samson knowing now that his sacrifice at the end, if he was here today, if he could say a couple of things to you, this is what I think he'd say. My rebellion wasn't worth it. Doing things my way, it didn't satisfy me. I wish I would have done it God's way. I also think he might have looked back when he was in that prison. He probably would have thought, I had it all. God had set me aside from birth. I had it all. Kind of like the movie, it says, I could have been a contender. And don't think he wasn't thinking that in that cell when he had lost everything. Here's the final thing I think he'd say to you. Don't do what I did. Do it God's way. You could do it God's way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you so much for your patience and your mercy over us. Father, the word tells us that some of us look and we wonder why God is so patient, that we feel like maybe there's no judgment. We feel like, well, God, we can do whatever we want to do and there are no repercussions. But the Bible tells us that we mistake that. We mistake God's patience. He's being patient with us because he doesn't want us to be destroyed. Doesn't want us to be destroyed. If you're here today, again, there's no one here on accident. I just want you to be honest with yourself. Where is your life? Where is your story right now? Is it a tragedy? Is it drama? Are you on the wrong track? Have you been doing your own thing? And are you ready to allow God to rewrite it? Don't wait like Samson did. Don't wait until you're at the very, very bottom. Be wise and turn back to him now. Can I just tell you there's no condemnation? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save us. And while you're alive, while you're breathing, every person in this room, regardless of what you've done, God can fix you. He wants to transform you. He wants to rewrite your story. Nobody looking around right now. This is between me and you and God. If you're here today and you want God to rewrite your story, you're ready to allow that to happen, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I see your hands. Amen. You can put your hands down. Here's what I want to do. This is not for my benefit. This is for your benefit. For those of you that raised your hand, I just want you to come down front. And as they do that, like some of the leaders to get behind them, we're just going to pray for them. If you raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you needed to, just come on down front. There's no condemnation here. This is about hope. Amen. Amen. Come on down. What's your name? Holly. Hey, Holly. Hey, bro. Anybody else? No condemnation. This is why we're here. Amen. I tell you something, what we talked about today is absolutely the truth. No matter what's happened, God can rewrite it. And you guys are so brave to come down here and let him just work on you and do that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. This is between you and God. Okay? And I'm just going to say something.
That's why we're here. How many of you are thankful for what God's done in your life? Amen. He's a life breaker, a life changer. He takes our brokenness and he fixes us and he heals us and he turns our life into what we want it to be. Amen. I am so thankful. Let's all stand this morning. You know, the same Holy Spirit that empowered Samson to go do what he did is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. And God wants to empower you to go out when you leave this place. He wants to empower you and strengthen you to be a witness to those around you. You know, I was talking to some people this morning. In the early church, the way it grew is they would come together and they were meeting in different houses and the Holy Spirit would come up. And you know what they did? Then they went back out and they were the light in the world. And the power of God went with them wherever they were and reached people where they were. When you leave today, that's what I'm charging you guys with. You're going out into the mission field. Amen? To a world that needs light. And you, Jesus said, are the light of the world. So here's what I'm saying as your pastor. Shine. Just shine. Amen? Father, I just pray over these amazing people today. Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that your presence would just go with us. That, Lord, you would love people through us. Help us to be your hands and feet in our family, in our community, work or school, wherever we are. Help us to shine. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.